Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Mem Dalet in Menachos, one of the most popular dafim in Shas. Some of the most exciting topics come up today, and on top of all that, we're going to be concluding our discussion on tzitzis. Like all good things, comes to an end, and today's the last daf of the discussion, the formal discussion of tzitzis. After that point in time, we go back to Menachos. But I hope everyone enjoyed the time together on the discussion of tzitzis. We start the Gemara today on Mem Gimel Amud Beis, and it's a carryover from yesterday's discussion. We have a pasuk that says, "Arisama," so that you have to see the tzitzis. So the Gemara made a point that what is it coming to include or coming to exclude? "Arisama," so. So the accepted halacha, which we saw was a machlokas, subject to machlokas, is Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Shimon says that "Arisama," so means that you have to see it, meaning it has to be daytime. Nighttime is not the right time. Nighttime, you don't see the tzitzis. Nobody sees the tzitzis. And so therefore, nighttime is not chayav in tzitzis. This brings us to the point of tzitzis laila. Clothing at night does not need tzitzis. Now, what exactly does that mean? So as I mentioned already a couple of times, the machlokas rishonim, Rambam and Tosfos, whether or not it's referring to the clothing designated for night or any clothing that you wear at night. Okay, but meanwhile, though, ksus laila is going to be patur from tzitzis. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and that's the accepted halacha. Consequently, that means that tzitzis is the mitzvah sasei shazman gram. It's a time bound mitzvah, and being that it's a time bound mitzvah, women are exempt from time bound mitzvahs. We saw Rabbi Yehuda yesterday put tzitzis on his entire family, including his wife. The Gemara yesterday pointed out that seems to be problematic because at the same time he also made a bracha every single morning, which sounds like it's a new mitzvah every single day. And the Gemara tried to resolve the two statements of Rav Yehuda, but as Tosfos himself points out, that's not the halacha. The halacha is that women are exempt from tzitzis. Okay, we continue in the Gemara. We are still on the Risama So and Virabanan Hai Virisama Samay Avdilay. We're on Mem Gimel Amud Beis, and we're about 10 lines from the top of the page, and we're now going to discuss what do the Chachamim do, because the Chachamim maintain that the mitzvah of tzitzis is both day and night, and their Re'isam Oso tells us nothing about day versus night. They feel that the mitzvah of tzitzis is during the day and during the night. So the Gemara asks a very simple question. So according to the Chachamim, Re'isam Oso My Avdilay, so what do they do with the Pasuk of Re'isam Oso? Mibayla Lecha Detanya, so the Gemara says, Re'isam Oso Uzechar Temrei Mitzvah Zu Uzechor Mitzvah Acherasa Telu Yabo. So what they're going to do is they're going to darshan. And they're going to darshan like this, that you're going to see the tzitzis, and it's going to remind you of another mitzvah connected with it, the Ezezu, Zu Kriya Shema. And this is a mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Now, I have to tell you, this Gemara over here is difficult to me for two reasons. Number one, this is not a concrete halacha, meaning the zechira, the reminder, is a reminder.
What about nighttime Shema?
Right, correct. But number one, it's just a reminder. Meaning, as opposed to what Rabbi Shimon does with the Re'isama, so actually it's a halacha that's generated. The halacha is tzitzis during the day, not tzitzis at night. That's a halacha. Over here, zechira, it's true. Sometimes zechira comes in the form of a mitzvah, like zechira samalek, or like Kiddush, right? Zachor Yom HaShabbos Kadsho. But over here, if I wear tzitzis, it reminds me of another mitzvah. You know, it's hard to understand how that's a concrete halacha. Okay, that's issue number one, which I have difficulty understanding the Gemara. The other issue I have, which is Tosfos's issue, what's the Gemara making reference to? So let me first finish reading the Gemara. That would help. The Ezezu Zu Kriya Shema. Did not we learn in the Mishnah in Brachos? Me'emas Ikaron Es Hashma B'Shachris. From where do you start reading the Shema in the morning? Mishiyakir Ben Tcheles and Lavan. From the time that you can see the difference between Tcheles and Lavan. Okay. You see the connection between tzitzis and Kriya Shema, meaning that by tzitzis, okay, so that's the mitzvah of wearing tzitzis. By Kriya Shema, the first opportunity that I have in the morning to say Kriya Shema is when in the morning I could see the difference between white and blue. There's enough light in the early morning. This is obviously before sunrise. There's enough light where I could distinguish between white and blue. As Tosfos points out, that's a din d'rabbanan. That's not a din d'araisa, meaning min haTorah. Right, Mishnah Megillah teaches us. Minotaur, when does the day start? Day starts at dawn. Minotaur. Okay, yes, sunrise is the optimal time to daven Shmoneh Esrei, right, Vasikin, but in terms of the actual day, when does the day actually begin? So the day starts at dawn. Okay, but dawn is kind of hard to gauge, right? It's very difficult in the morning to say, okay, dawn now has officially started. I know you have your charts, and you know we all have our luach, and we all could take a look at the time, but just empirically, just go outside and say to yourself, when exactly does dawn begin? So it's the lighting of the eastern sky. Okay, it's difficult to quantify. It's not like sunrise. Sunrise is easy to quantify. So because of the imprecise moment of when dawn is, so the Chachamim said, you know what? Wait for Shema. Meaning, don't say Shema at the crack of dawn, because you don't exactly know when the crack of dawn is. Wait a little bit. How much should we wait after dawn? To the time that we can see the difference between blue and white. That's a din derabanan, right? So what I don't understand, and I'm sure there's a way to explain the Gemara, is that what the Gemara now is trying to do is to figure out what the Chachamim are going to do with the Pasuk Risem Oso. And now what the Gemara has basically told us is, well, you see, there's this halach of Mishiyakir. Yeah, but Mishiyakir is only a din derabanan, it's not a din deraisa. So they're not really darshaning the Pasuk, right? It's not a real drasha. I'd say it's speaking, it's an allusion to a din derabanan. So, okay, I clearly explained to everybody my lack of clarity on the Gemara. Fine, we're moving along. Tanya Idach, there's another braisa. You're going to see this mitzvah is going to remind you of another mitzvah. Hasmu chalam. What mitzvah? The mitzvah next to it. What is the mitzvah next to it? Vezuzuzu mitzvah kalayim. Okay, good. So every time you see tzitzis, you're going to remind yourself. Yeah, right? This mitzvah I'm allowed to wear klayim, but all of the times I'm not allowed to wear klayim. Dechziv, lo so bashanet, semu pishtim yachtav, gidilim ta'asalach. Smuchim. Two psukim juxtaposed, one next to the other, in Parshas Ki Seifseh. Oh, by the way, Tosfos raised this question yesterday. I did not bring up this question in the daf. It's such a basic question. And it's good also. Why don't we say women are chayiv and tzitzis for the following argument? Right? We know that when you have two concepts that are found in the same pasuk together, so it links the two concepts together and therefore makes women obligated. For example, I'll give you two simple examples. Both of them are mentioned in Tosfos. Women have to eat matzah, right? Matzah is a time-bound obligation. So if it's women, matzah is a time-bound obligation, so why do women have to eat? So the Gemara tells us, well, in the one pasuk you find the mitzvah to eat matzah and the iser not to eat chametz. Now we know women are bound to all lo sase sheba Torah, all negative prohibitions in the Torah. So since women are bound to the lo sase of chametz, so therefore they're obligated to the mitzvah of tzitzis. Sorry, the mitzvah of matzah. A second example, right, with another one that we all know, zachar v'shamor. Women have to make kiddush. Women have to make kiddush. It's a mitzvah sase shazman gram. It's a time bound mitzvah. Yeah, but it's connected to the prohibition, all the low sases of Shabbos. Zachar v'shamor b'dibur echad. Zachar and shamor was said simultaneously by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So anyone who is obligated in the low sases, which are men and women, are obligated in the ases, which is kiddush. So women are obligated in kiddush. So now Tosfos asks, it's such a basic question. So we also have smichus parshios, meaning we have the parsha of kalayim right next to the parsha of tzitzis. So why don't we make the argument that women are prohibited in kalayim, like all los asis in the Torah, therefore they should be obligated in tzitzis? Yeah, that's a good question. I thought so myself. Tosfos' answer, I don't know if there are other answers out there, I'm sure there are, but Tosfos' answer is, it's a detailed answer. You're going to have to make a distinction between hekeshim that are in one pasuk versus two psukim that are back to back. Meaning, in the chametz matzah example that I gave, that was in the same pasuk, but in the gidilim tasalach and the shatnez, those are two psukim that are back to back. And so that's not as strong a hekesh. Okay? It's a detailed answer. I'm sure I have a funny feeling that there are other answers to that question. Okay. Anyway, let's go on in our Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Adama Mitzvah says Shazman Gama. I'm sorry. What happened to me? Where did I go? So Yitasalach Tanya Idach. Another Braisa. We're right in the middle of Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Another bright 37 also is a chatam is called mitzvah Hashem came and is chayav adam in mitzvah zu nizchay b'chol ha mitzvahs kulan. A person's obligated in this mitzvah. It's gonna he's gonna be obligated. Remind him to obligate in all mitzvahs. Rabbi Shimon he the Amar mitzvah zesei shasman gramahi. So it is a time bound mitzvah. Tan yidach we have another brisa. This mitzvah is equal in weight to all the mitzvahs in the Torah. We have another braisah. Look, you're going to see it, it's going to remind you. And then once you're reminded, you're going to perform. So in other words, the whole point of wearing tzitzis is to remind us of the mitzvahs, to do the mitzvahs. Right? Famous Gemara. What's more important? Learning and doing. So the Gemara's answer is such a Gemara answer. Learning is more important. Why? Because it gets you to do. So, V'rashbi Omer, kol hazaris b'mitzvah zuzocha mekabel p'nei shechina. If you're zaris, if you're careful about the mitzvah tzitzis, you're mekabel p'nei shechina. More FaceTime with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. K'siv ha'achar yisem oso, k'siv ha'asem oso, shem alakecha tira. V'oso ta'avod. Okay, connection between the Uri Isem Oso and Tira. Tan Rabban Chaviv and Yisrael Shesivim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu surrounded us with mitzvahs. Tefillin B'ra Hashem, so on our head we have tefillin. U'tefillin B'zera Hashem and tefillin on our arm. V'tzitzis B'vigdeyem and tzitzis on their clothing. U'mizuzah L'pischeyem and a mezuzah on your doorway. V'aleihem Amar David, Sheva Bayom Hilal Ticha, it's seven bayom, seven mitzvahs during the daytime. I praise you. Now, how do we get to the number seven? So we are counting tefillin, shel yad, tefillin, shel rosh as two. We're counting the tzitzis as four. I guess this harks back to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, who says that the tzitzis are four separate mitzvahs. I don't know if you have to say that. But, okay, so that gets us to number six. And, of course, mezuzah is number seven, right? Of course, we could have more than one mezuzah, but you have a house, you have a minimum of one mezuzah, so that's seven. So now David is walking into the bathhouse, and he's naked. And Amar oily she'amod arum below mitzvah. And he says that I'm without a mitzvah. And by the way, in other words, he's certainly without the tefillin, that goes without saying in the Beis HaMerchatz, says this as well. And also, I was thinking about this as well, no mezuzah, meaning really stripped of all mitzvahs because there's no mezuzah in the Beis HaMerchatz. It's not an appropriate place for mezuzah. The Kevan, Shenizkar b'mila shebibsar nisyash v'dato. And then he reminds himself about the mila and he has yishav adas, he calms down. L'acha shiyatza amar, ala shira. Now he walks out of the Beis HaMerchatz, right? He can't say it in the Beis HaMerchatz because in the Beis HaMerchatz you cannot speak in Torah. So after he walks out of the Beis HaMerchatz, he says, Shira Shenamar Lametzech Al Hashminis Mizmor LeDavid. By Lametzech Al Hashminis, and the Gemara makes the obvious connection, Al Mila Shenitna Bishmini. Right? That Mizmor was put together by David HaMelech because that's the point in time where he was reminded of how significant the Mitzvah Mila is. The Mitzvah Mila is with him at all times. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amar Kol Sheyesh Lo Tefillin Berosh Tefillin Bezdorov Tzitzis BeBigdo O Mezuzah BePischo HaKol BeChizuk Shelo Yechata. So if you have the big seven, two mezuzah, four tzitzis, four corners, and the mezuzah, so you are in a chazaka that you will not sin, in an assumed state of condition that you're not going to sin. Shenemar V'Achut HaMeshulash Lo Bemhera Yenatek. Here the Gemara refers to it as a three braided cord. Lo b'mehera yinatek, it's not going to break that easily. So here the big three, I know in Miami what that means, but the right. But here the big three are your tefillin, your mezuzah, and your tzitzis, the big three. Hachut hamishul shlo b'mehera yinatek. The omer chone malach Hashem saviv le'rav echalsein. And it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu surrounds you. Right, Chonem Alach Hashem Saviv Le'Reyah, for those who fear Him, V'yechalsem, and will be protected from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tanya, Yerebi Meir Omer, Manishtan Tcheles Mikol Minei Tzivonim. How is Tcheles different than any other mitzvah? So the Gemara gives us a little agadata regarding the actual mitzvah of Tchelis, which is part and parcel of the mitzvah of Tzitzis. Why Tchelis? Simple question. Mimnesha Tchelis Doma L'Yam, Tchelis is similar to the ocean. V'yam Doma L'Rakia, and the Yam is really a reflection of the Rakia. And the Rakia reminds us of the Kisei HaKavod Shenemar V'sachad Raglav Kemaseh Livnas HaSapir U'Che'etzem HaShemayim L'Tohar. Pasuk in Shmos describing some vision of the Kisei, right, underneath Raglav, underneath his feet, meaning the feet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it looks like sapphire. U'Che'etzem HaShemayim L'Tohar looks like the Shemayim. So you see that the Kisei is Dome, the Shemayim L'Tohar, Uksiv, Kamar, Seven, Sapir, Demus Kisei. Shemayim and Kisei are similar. Tanya, okay, fine. So that is the famous Agadah. I think people know this. Right? That's the famous Agadah in terms of why Tchelis takes us all the way back to the Kisei HaKavod, as Rashi makes the last connection, right? But I think it's kind of obvious that the Kisei HaKavod obviously brings us back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one who is sitting on the Kisei HaKavod. Okay. Tanya Hayer Rabbi Meir Omer Gadol Onsho Shalav and Yosef Onsho Shal Tchelis. Okay, so you don't have Tchelis. Right? That's not a good thing. Okay, not many people in this room have Tchelis. I know some people do, and as I mentioned, it's making a revival, but the onish of not wearing lavan is greater than the onish of not wearing tchelis, says Rabbi Meir. We are going to go now into Rabbi Meir mode, meaning the Gemara is going to bring a number of statements of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir. You'll see the Gemara is going to be a little bit disjointed now as we go through a number of halachas, starting with tzitzis, and then we're going to move on to other halachas, but the theme, the thread is Rabbi Meir. Why is white worse than blue? Failure to have white is worse than failure to have blue. Mashal Mahadav Adama, so he tells us this in the form of an analogy. L'melech basav adam shenemar li shnei avadav. So a king has two servants, and he says la'echad amar haveli chosem shaltin. And he says to one, go get me mortar, go get me clay, an insignia, some insignia that's made out of clay. Okay, I want people to know that you're my Evid. I want you to walk around with some sort of insignia. But in terms of the material for the insignia, clay, mortar, right? Anyone can get that. Very common. And to another one of his servants, he says, you know what? I want you to get me an insignia. I want you to demonstrate to everybody that you're my servant. And you need to get gold. Oh, okay. So the Gemara says, "Upashu shneim v'lo eviu." Now neither complied with the king's wishes, meaning the one who was told to get clay and the one that was told to get gold. Ezemem onsho meruba. So, who's more at fault, right? Who's more liable? Havi Omer zeh shamar lehavali chosam shaltid v'lo evi. The one who was told to get something that anybody could get, and it's so common, and it's so easy to, and it's so accessible, and that person who didn't get that, he obviously bears more of a liability than the other one. Gold is harder to obtain. So it's understandable, almost excusable, I hope it is, because a lot of us don't have quote-unquote gold, but it's excusable how the Evid that didn't get the gold. But the Evid that was told to get the clay, the mortar, and he didn't get it, so he's obviously, he's got more to answer for. Tanya, Hayyari Mimir Omer, Chayav Adam, Levarach Mea, Brachos Bechol Yom. Famous Gemara, brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, person should say, is obligated to say, 100 brachas every day. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, V'atai Yisrael, Masham Lekecha, Shoal Meimecha. What is the Kosh Baruch Hu asking from you? Now, how from this Pasuk do we get to the number 100? It's not clear. So I'm going to offer with you Rishonim on the page. Rashi on the page says, Masha Melkecha Doresh, Kribe Mea. The Pasuk is Ma Memhe. So Rashi says that there's a Ksiu Kriuksiv, meaning you read the Pasuk Ma, but Ma could also be read Mea. Okay, so that's how you get from Masha Melkecha to Mea Hashem Melkecha Shoal Mea Mecha. Kosh Baruch Hu is asking from you 100. 100 every day, 100 brachas every single day. Look at the bottom toasters on the page. Shol me'amecha, perish Rabbeinu Tam, da'ave male, v'yesh me'a osios b'pasuk. Okay, so try this at home. or go through the pasuk, count the number of letters in the pasuk. You're going to count 100 letters in the pasuk. But if you don't get to the number 100, so Rabbi Natan helps you by saying that it's malay, meaning fill in the vavs and the yuds in the pasuk, and you'll get to 100 letters in the pasuk. Okay, v'yesh mefarshim dema ola be'atbash mea, or Tosus gives another pshat that the word ma. Now, gematria of the word ma is 45. Okay, so that's not good. That's 55 short. So you're gonna have to use your atbash, right? Everyone knows how to use. It's like a decoder ring. So everyone knows how to use their atbash. So if there's an alf, you substitute with a taf. If there's a bez, you substitute with a shin. V'chule v'chule. So if you use that formula for ma, so you're gonna get to what is hey? What hey is? Say so, okay, hey sadi. Oh, this is good. Right, hey sadi. So that's 90. And so I'm sorry. Right, hey sadi. That's 90. And then the mem would be
40.
I need my atbash decoder ring right now, and I'm going to guess the mem is a yud. I mean, that would make sense. Okay, let's leave it as a guess right now, and later on I'll actually go through the decoding.
The word moedim is also 100.
Moedim.
Moedim
anachmalach. Oh, moedim anachmalach. Okay, good. Okay, so fine. So that's how you do it. Now, to get to 100 brachas every day, so the Gemara here is clearly, by the way, Stuart reminded me this morning, so the Mishnah Berurah, if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, he actually counts it up, how we get to 100 every single day. So so clearly what gets us to that number is Shmoneh Esrei. Every morning when we daven, so davening is made up, the centerpiece of davening is Shmoneh Esrei, so that's 18 brachas, and just between you and me, it's really 19 brachas, you know, they added one. Right, a couple years ago. Okay, a couple. Right, almost 2,000 years ago. Rabbi Gamliel added a 19th bracha. So that's 19 brachas. So that helps us significantly, and you do that three times a day, and that significantly helps us to get to the number 100. On Shabbos, however, we're at a serious disadvantage, because Shabbos, it's not 19 brachas on Shabbos, it's only 7 brachas on Shabbos. So, right, so how are you going to get to the 100 brachas? So the Gemara, that's the next bit of Gemara. So Rav Chia Bered, Rav Avya, Bishabasu v'yamitave, so on Shabbos and Yantov, Tarach u'memala lehu, b'ispar maki u'megade. So on Shabbos and Yantov, trying to get to the 100, so he'd make careful efforts to smell fragrances. I know, you're careful about that. And Megadim. And delicacies, snacks, Shabbos party.
You know, in Iran, we had the custom to have the Aliyah, like Ayat Adama and Ayat Adama before doing the Amotzi for each meal of Shabbat.
Right.
So you would add.
It's the Gemara in Menachos. Okay, so the, good, so that would help them get to the number 100. Tanya Rabbi Meir Omer Chayav Adon Levarach Shosh Brachos Bechol Yom. Rabbi Meir says that's obligated on a person to say 3 brachas daily. Elohein. And the 3 brachas go like this. Number 1, Shasani Yisrael. Okay. We don't make that exact bracha. We say Shalom Asani Goy. So it's not the Nusach of our Gemara. So on the bottom you'll note that the Tosefta has a girsa of Shalom Asani Goy. The Riff and the Rush, when they bring down the Gemara, they say Shalom Asani Goy. So that's what we say, obviously. We don't say Shasani Yisrael. So Shasani Yisrael, or according to our gears, according to what we do, Shalom Asani Goy, that's 1. Shalom Asani Isha, that's 2. And Shalom Asani Bor. And you didn't make me a Bor. Bor is an Amma Aretz. Super Amma Aretz, right? Like not just someone who, like really somebody who's totally, just the word "born" in Hebrew and English kind of, you know, it sounds the same, right? Someone who's really undeveloped, right? So, okay, so two of these should sound familiar, meaning every day we say Shalom Asani Goy and Shalom Asani Isha, and but we don't do like this one, meaning we don't say Shalom Asani Bor. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov Shamed Labrei Davikam Avarach Shalom Asani Bor. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov hears his son say the bracha of Shalom Asani Bor, which really is what the Braisa says. Amalei Kulei Hainami. So he says to him, father says to son, no, yeah, you really, that bracha is not appropriate. That bracha doesn't fit. Now, the Gemara is not that clear. It doesn't explain a whole lot. Why doesn't that bracha fit? So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Rashi gives two pshatim over here. Number one, Rashi says, "Dimishabachta nafshacha de'ena amaretz." Meaning it's just inappropriate that you're going to make a bracha that you're not an Am Haaretz. It's not an appropriate way to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you, Hashem, for not making me an Am Haaretz. It's really, first of all, that's not Hashem's business, that's more your business. Meaning the Shalos Ani Goy, Shalos Ani Isha, joking aside, that you can't change. I mean right, let's just leave it like that. So but the boar, right, the boar is something that, you can change. So so that's first pshat in Rashi. Second pshat in Rashi, Lishna Achrina, Kule Anami Bishlam Ovikocham Visha Hovelo B'nei Mitzvah Nenu Shapir Mevarechas Ela Bar Mitzvahi. So the Rashi second pshat is, look, a goy and an isha, they are different. Meaning, in the terms of their obligation to mitzvos, so there's something to make a bracha about. Meaning, I'm not a goy, I'm chayiv. He's chayiv in seven mitzvos. I'm chayiv in a whole lot more. So, and that's quantitative. That's something you can make a bracha about. Or, right, the difference between a man and a woman is that a man is obligated more mitzvos than a woman. So that's also quantitative. That you can also make a bracha about. But the idea of not being a boor, he's obligated in the same number of mitzvahs as you are. So how can you make a bracha about that? There's no quantitative difference between the two. So the Gemara says, okay, so second pshat in Rashi. So the Gemara says, okay, so now, Amalei Kula Hainami, so Amalei Ve'alamai, so the son says back to the father, okay, so now what? Right, so, meaning three is a magic number, for whatever reason, and so you're taking away one of the three brachas, shalos ani bor, telling me that that's not appropriate. So what is appropriate? So my mevarach shalos ani oven. So the Gemara says, okay, shalos ani oven. That's the bracha that you should make. Now it starts to sound a little bit better. That's what we do. Meaning, right, shalos ani goy, shalos ani oven, shalos ani isha. So the Gemara says, eved hainu isha. So the Gemara says, well, then that sounds redundant. Meaning a slave and a woman, that's the same thing. Now, joking aside, or maybe we'll throw in a couple jokes. Joking aside, so the Gemara means on the simplest level that in terms of chiyuv mitzvahs, they're the same. It's the same. A woman in Eved Kenani is chayiv in non-time bound positive commandments and all the lavin, the same thing as a woman. And it fits in well with the second shot of Rashi that we just offered, which is that we're really looking at quantitative differences in terms of obligation of mitzvos. So I can understand the difference between a guy and a Jew, and a woman and a man. But an Eved and a woman, quantitatively, in terms of chiyuv mitzvos, it's the same. Now, I will point out to you, which I'm sure you can point out to me, that an Eved Kenani is chayiv in the mitzvah of milah, and a woman is not, and maybe the Gemara could have made that point, and okay, the Gemara did not make that point. Anyway, the Gemara makes a more basic point, which is Eved Zil Tfei. Look, it's true that in terms of his chayavus of mitzvahs, obligation of mitzvahs, so an Eved Kenani and a woman are on the same level. But in terms of status, right, you can't compare. A woman, obviously, a Jewish woman has much more status than that of an Eved Kenani. So you can say, Shalos Ani Goy, Shalos Ani Avi, Shalos Ani Isha, and it's not a redundancy because an Eved has much less status than that of a woman.
Why was this Yasani Israel was changed?
It's not that it was changed, meaning that there are variant girsos of the Gemara. Meaning in our Gemara's girsa, Yasani Israel, but in the Girsa of the Tosefta, we're not learning Tosefta, we're learning Gemara, and when the Riff and the Rush copied down, so they copied down Shalos Ani Goy. So that's just, it's a question of Girsa. Right? It's not, fine. Shalos Ani Goy. All right. Tanu Rabbanan, Chilazon. I told you it's coming up. Here it is. The identification of the Chilazon animal. Zeu Gufo Dom Liyam. So the Gemara gives not a lot of information, right? Very, very, very sparse in the amount of information that it gives us in terms of identifying the chilazon. Zeh gufo dam liyam, so its body resembles the ocean. Uvriyaso dom el hadag, and its body resembles a fish. It's like a fish. Va'ola echel l'shivim shana. It comes up once every 70 years. Uvidamot sovim tchelis, and using its blood, you dye the tchelis. V'fichav dama yivikarim. Therefore, you should expect to spend a lot of money when buying the dye of the chilaza. Okay? A little economics for this morning, supply and demand. Meaning that it doesn't come up that often. It comes up very infrequently, once in every 70 years. So, supply and demand. So, the Gemara basically tells us, you know, you should expect to pay a lot.
If it's so rare, how do we know that what's being done now is even...
Wait. The good question. Just give me a moment. Okay. Yeah. So let's pause over here for just a moment. Okay. I feel myself to be terribly uninformed on the chilaza and what it is. Meaning that I know now, I told you, it keeps making a revival. And so what I'm going to share with you is just a little bit of information. Time is extraordinarily short. So I'm going to share with you a little bit of information about the chilaza, and then I will tell you where you can research more on this topic. A good source of mine in general is Rabbi Kornfeld's notes on the daf. Rabbi Kornfeld was a Rebbe of mine in Ur Yerushalayim a couple years ago. All right, more than a couple. And he has since left the Yeshiva Dor Yerushalayim, and he's started a website, and he's basically now published notes on the entire Shas. It is more than impressive. And his notes are excellent. He's super organized. He's a tremendous Talmid Chacham. And, okay. So here, he just gives us some basic guidelines in terms of identifying what the Chilazon is. And then he goes through a beautiful overview of the history of some of the controversy regarding it. Daf is not the time for history, and I'd like to go over all this, but I'm just going to give you some of the basics in terms of some of the clues that the Gemara gives us in terms of helping us identify. So number one, first of all, if you look carefully at the Gemara says it's domaladak, right? It's like a fish. Right, it's similar to a fish. So, if you just a careful reading of the Gemara tells you it's not a fish, it's dom eladag. It's like a fish. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Gemara in Shabbos is on Ein Dalet, that the way that you catch chilazon is by lowering nets into the water. So it's some sort of sea creature, that's for sure, but it's not necessarily a fish. The Gemara Shabbos just one daf later. These are all the Gemaras about Seda. The Gemara Shabbos and one daf later says that when you capture the chilazon on Shabbos, you're over on Tzad. You violate the malacha of Tzad, of capturing on Shabbos. That means then, of course, that it's obviously something that's not easy to catch, because if it were easy to catch, if it didn't move, so then Seda is only for something that's, you know, can run around and you trap it. Okay? So another clue that we have. So Tosfos says, it's an interesting Tosfos, that if you take the chilazon out of the water on Shabbos, you don't violate the malacha of netilas neshama. Right? Of killing. Now, usually when you take a fish out of water, so, you kill it, right? And Tosa says that that if you take the chilazon out of the water, you don't violate the isra of netilas neshama, right? And how does Tosa know that? Because the Gemara says that what you do violate is seda, so capturing, but you don't violate the isra of netilas neshama. Again, more indication that it's not a fish, because if it were a fish, okay, you kill it when you take it out of water. Finally, the Gemara in Shabbos says that if you're potseya the chilazon, if you smash the chilazon on Shabbos, so you violate the issues of tzoveya. Now, the word potseya means to smash. Sounds like there's some sort of shell, And it sounds like you got to try to get into the shell. So, right, from these, so far, from all these clues, the sense that you get from all this is that it does not seem to be a fish. The, okay. Right. The other, just, again, just highlights, just nothing, right, I told you already, I'm not, you know, the history and what it is, which one it is, hard to say, but all the clues, however, you know, they're all found in the Gemara. Is it a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal? Our Gemara doesn't tell us.
Kosher in terms of what?
Kosher meaning in terms of eating.
Probably
doesn't have scales.
So there is a Rabbeinu Bechaye
on Shmos. A great source. Rabbeinu Bechaye on Shmos in the beginning of Parshas Truma, that he's of the opinion that anything used to make the Mishkan has to be a kosher animal. Okay? And you know what the biggest problem with this Rabbeinu Bechaye is? So we know that we make our dyes for the Mishkan from animals, right? So Tchelis is what we're talking about. There's Argamon and there's Tola Shani. Now what's Tola Shani? So Tola Shani, as we said, is some sort of red, right? What does the word Tolas mean? It's a worm. So Rabbeinu Bachya says, he writes in the beginning of Parshas Truma, that it's not the source of the dye doesn't come from the worm, it comes from the berry where the worm is in. But not from the worm itself, because Rabbeinu Bechaye says that he's of the very strong position that there's no way that anything used for the Mishkan, the construction of the Mishkan, can come from a non-kosher animal. Okay? Much discussion about that position of the Rabbeinu Bechaye. It is not for the most part an accepted position, but certainly an interesting position as well. Okay? And then much discussion and much of the controversy that takes us to what is it, meaning what is the chilazon? So, okay, so then you get to the history. Some people thought, the Rizinus thought that it was a fish, a cuttlefish. The more contemporary viewpoint is that it's a snail, the Murex snail. And what can I tell you? It's the controversy from that point forward.
Which body of water was it found in?
I gave you as much as information. I know I give you more information than what I know. So, dafyomi.co.il. Just Google dafyomi, Google Rabbi Kornfeld, you'll find it. It's okay. All right, let's go on in the Gemara. Tanya, we learned the following braisa. I'm Rabbi Nasan, and lechal kol mitzvah kala sheksuva b'torah shein matan tzchor ba'olam hazeh ula olam haba. Einu yodea kama. So look, when it comes to even the lightest mitzvahs, so there is schar mitzvah, there's reward for doing a mitzvah. Now really, the Gemara elsewhere says, schar mitzvah b'hai amaleka, that really you should not anticipate or expect reward for the mitzvahs in this world. That's not the purpose of doing mitzvahs, is to get reward in this world, but right, for certain mitzvahs, however, there are rewards that come even in this world. And einu yodea kama, I don't know, says the Gemara, how much schar we're talking about. Say ulamad mi mitzvah tzitz. So the Gemara says, look, but from one mitzvah and from one story, we could basically get our ways through to figuring out what kind of schar we're talking about for mitzvahs. So there's a story with a guy who was very careful about the mitzvah of tzitzis. So he heard that there was a prostitute who was, you know, out in the islands, and 400 zehuv and 400 gold pieces for her services. Shigala arba meod zehuvim. So first of all, pay in advance. Okay, you already see that we're speaking about a certain, you know, level of professionalism over here, right? So he sent the money first, the kavala's money, and after sending the money, so then established the time. Kishigir's manu bavi yeshiva pesach, nichnasa, Shivcha Sava Amrla, Osad Shashigar Lach, Dalameh Zuhuvim Ba, Vyashav, I'm sorry, Zuhuvim Ba, Vyashav Ala Pesach. So she, right, obviously this is a serious professional. She has Shvachos, she has maidservants. So her servant basically said, okay, the guy that paid 400, so he's at the door. Amrahi Yichanes. So he tells her, okay, she let him in. Nichnas Yitzilo Zain Mitos Sheish Shal Kesev Acha Shal Zahav. So she laid out seven beds, six made out of gold, and six made out of silver, one made out of gold. Ubein Kol Achas V'Achas Sulam Shal Kesev. And between each one of them was a sulam of kesef, a ladder made out of silver. By the way, anyone harking back to the Gemara that we had a couple days ago, where how many ties do you have in your tzitzis? So the Gemara says the range is between 7 to 13, right? Because the seven rakias, and the six is the ones in between. And obviously the Gemara over here is hearkening back to the imagery that we had earlier. Ve'elyono shel zahav, alsa v'yashav al gabe elyona. So she sits on the top. Kishi aruma af hu ala leshev arum kenegda. And so he's going up and he's also not wearing clothing. Ba'u dal tzitzios v'tafchu lo al panav. Then the four tzitzios come and slap him on the face. Nishmat v'yashav lo al gabe karka. So he descends, he goes down all the way to the bottom. Va'af hi nishmata v'yashva agabe karka. She's at a loss for what's going on right now. That's not usually how this thing ends. So she also goes down, she descends, and she sits right down right next to him. Amar lo, gapash aromi sheine manichascha ad shetomer li mam mumra ECB. So she takes it personally. She says, you got to tell me. I'm not going to let you go until you tell me. So what blemish did you find with me? Amar la, so he says to her, Havoda, Shalori Isi Isha Yafe Kemoscha. He says, no, the problem's not you. I have not seen a woman of your beauty. Ela mitzvah achat zivani Hashem Elokeinu, v'tzitzis shma, but I do have a mitzvah given to me by my God. The mitzvah is called tzitzis. Uksiv ba ani Hashem Elokeichem shtei pa'amim. And in the parsha it says Ani Hashem Elokeichem, and it says it twice. Ani hu shasid li parev, ani hu shasid li shalem schar. Meaning, I am Hashem who you'll see in the future. Right? It's the same Hashem. I'm the same Hashem who is going to be poreya chov. If you have an obligation to pay, you're going to pay it. If you have a reward, I'm going to reward you. It's the same Hashem. Achshav nidmu alai kedalad edim. And those tzitzis were looking at me in the face like four witnesses. Amr lo, eini manichacha ad sheteamali, mashimcha umashim yirecha umashim rabcha. So at that point, she is so unbelievably impressed. She says to him, look, I'm still going to keep you, and I'm not going to let you go. You got to give me your name. You got to give me the name of your city, and you got to give me the name of your Rebbe. Uma shame Jercha Shatalamebo, and also give me the name of your base medrash. So, can you possibly imagine right nowadays? Anyway, story doesn't translate well to nowadays because just can't imagine. So, Shatalamebo Torah. So he writes it down for her, he puts it in Torah, and at that point in time, she makes a spiritual revival, and she gives up her worldly possessions. So a third of it she gives to the government, a third of it she gives to the poor people, and a third of it she takes in her hands. Practical woman, right? She doesn't give it all away. She keeps some of it. Except for the matzos, for the bed. And she goes to the base measure. So Rabbi Chia Amra Lo, she says to Rabbi Chia, Rabbi, Tziva Alai Vayasuni Giyores. I'm ready. Let's go for the conversion. So Rabbi says to her, which is what every Rav says to every potential convert. You know, I hope you're not doing this for marriage, right? That's not the right reason to do it. In fact, that's the wrong reason to do it. So I hope this is not about marriage. Now remember, he wrote her the information. So So he hands her, sorry, she hands him handwritten note. Amrla lechi zichi b'mechacha. Osan matzo shehitzi alo be'iser, hitzi alo be'heter. Zeman schar ba'olam hazeh, ula olam haba eini yodea kama. Look, I certainly can point to the reward in this world, right? Self-evident, if I may say. But the reward in the next world, eini yodea, that we cannot speak to. So the mitzvah tzitzis gives protection and shmira in this world, plus benefits on the side as well. And then for olam haba, the Gemara says just simply eini yodea, comma. We don't know how much. Okay. I'm Rav Yehuda Tal Shula. Kol shoshim yom peturim and tzitzis mikan ve'elech chayeves. Okay, back to a few more halachas before we finish the discussion of tzitzis. Talis she'ula. You have a borrowed talis. So the pasuk says kisu secha. It's got to be your clothing. So if you borrow somebody else's clothing, so kol shoshim yom peturim and tzitzis. So for the first 30 days you're patur min tzitzis, but mikan ve'elech. But from that point forward, you're going to be chayavis. You're going to be obligated in tzitzis. 30. Watch the magic of 30. So Tosa says, don't.
If you use something for 30.
We're going to get to mezuzah. Huh? Right. So correct. So Tosa over here points out that I don't want you to think that a loan is basically for 30 days. Stam she'ela lamed yom. That a generic loan, meaning I go to my neighbor and say, "Can I borrow, right, your, you know the thing you've been holding for 6 months, right? What if you don't specify how long you're going to borrow it for? So there's a thought process amongst the Rishonim that it's for 30 days, and something that would bolster that thought process is our Gemara over here, because our Gemara says that if you borrow a garment, so for the first 30 days, it's not yours, meaning it's borrowed. And that's why for the first 30 days, you don't need to put tzitzis on it. If, however, you're holding it for more than 30 days, people are looking at you and saying to themselves, it can't be borrowed. If it's borrowed, he would have returned it already. People will think it's yours, and I guess it's almost like marasayan. Like you're going out with a four-corner garment, and it doesn't have tzitzis on it. And so therefore, after 30 days, you put tzitzis on. And Tosa says, you could think that way, but Tosus prefers not to think that way. And see Tosus for a lengthy discussion on this topic of how long a generic loan is going to be. So anyway, so Tal Shulah Koshal Shem Yom Petur Minutes. This was Mikan Ve'elech Chayav. Tanya Nami Hachi Hadar Bepuntiki Be'eretz Yisrael V'Hasocher Bayis Bechutz Aretz. If you stay in an inn in Eretz Yisrael, or if you rent a house in Chutz Arts, Kol Shloshim Yom Patur Min HaMezuzah. For the first 30 days, it's not yours, it's not Beisecha, so therefore you're Patur from Mezuzah. Mikan Ve'ele Chayev. And from that point forward, you're going to be Chayev. However, HaSocher Bayis Be'Eretz Yisrael. But if you rent a house in Eretz Yisrael, so Osem Mezuzah La'alter Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. There's a concept of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So you should put a mezuzah on right away. Rashi writes, "The acher shekava shuv ein not la misham. Afilo yotzei mimena kedamer beperka shabbat mamatzia helkach bekoshi yotzei mimenu mimei torach mezuzah acheres. Afilo yotzei mimenu yaskirena acher mehera kishim tzena mezumenes b'mezuzah v'nimtzes eretz yisrael miyushavis." How is affixing a mezuzah to your door going to help yishuv eretz yisrael, right, the settlement of Israel? Because you know what the halacha is. When you give up the house, you can't give up the mezuzah. So it's going to kind of hold you to the house. So, and we want that. Meaning in Eretz Yisrael, we want that. In Galus, so you want to move, by all means. In fact, that's not where we belong. We don't belong in Galus. So the Chachamim weren't worried about the mezuzah. Meaning for 30 days, just, you know, don't even have to put a mezuzah on. But in Eretz Yisrael, once you attach a mezuzah to it, it's going to hold you to the house more. And Rashi says that's why it's Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, you put a mezuzah up right away. Even though Me'ikar Din, you don't have to put up a mezuzah right away because it's not yours. Tefillah Shel Yad Eina Ma'akevis. Okay, yeah. Okay, we'll stop over here. Ad Kan, we finished. Concluded the topic of tzitzis in the Gemara. Tomorrow We further are going to finish a couple loose ends, if you will, regarding tefillin, and we move back to Menachos tomorrow.